Please turn to Matthew chapter 3, brethren. Matthew chapter 3. And what we've been doing, just to explain to Brian and Joyce and Matthew over there, and anybody else who might have snuck in and is listening, we want to, a couple of years ago, I guess it was, we found that our own World News and Prophecy talks were becoming very, very negative, talking about our own, not anybody else's. And so we, what we started doing is we scratched that because it was so negative and it was such a downer on the Sabbath, and we thought, what can be better than to read God's Word? Well, we started off and we thought, you know, well, we'll read through the Bible. Of course, you get into a verse or a couple of verses and it becomes more of a Bible study, a mini study, and that's fine. And so that's what we've been doing. So in Matthew 3, we're actually up to verse 6, but let's just read verses 1 to 6 just so that you'll know where we're up to. We're talking about John the Baptist. Going over a little bit here. Okay. In those days, this verse 1, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Eternal, make his path straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So that's verse 6, and that's where we were into verse 6 last time. And last time we had 7 questions. We only had time to answer 3 of them. And the 3 questions we answered last time were, what does the word baptize really mean? Number 2, why did John baptize in the River Jordan? And number 3, who did all these people confess their sins to? So we have a recording of that. If you want it, I can send it to you. Let's move on now to question number 4. Question number 4 is, was there a laying on of hands after these baptisms? Was there a laying on of hands after these baptisms? And the answer is, almost certainly, no. Now the baptism of John, if you compare the baptism of John with that of Jesus Christ and the apostles, certainly after the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost in 31 AD, they were different. They went down into the water and everything else, but that's basically where it ended. Please turn back to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, actually forward to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Just need that verse there. The baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John's baptism was called the baptism of repentance. And the Apostle Paul later mentions the baptisms that John performed prior to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Let's go over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 24. When John had first preached before his coming, talking about Jesus' coming, when John had first preached before Jesus' coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. So there it is again. It was called the baptism of repentance. Now, did the Apostle John, John the Baptist, did he know that there would be a difference between his baptism, say, quote, unquote, his baptism of repentance. Say that because it was God who told him what to do. God commanded John to perform these baptisms. Did John know that there would be a difference between his baptism of repentance and that of Jesus and the disciples? Please turn over to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. All of the answers here are in God's word. Luke chapter 3 and verse 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So John knew this. He foresaw this. He knew that Jesus' baptism was going to be something different. So as John the Baptist foresaw, Jesus did baptize, or rather, the disciples that baptized in Jesus' name. Let's go over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. That's all I need from there, just to explain that Jesus did baptize, but he did it through his disciples. So evidently, even the people that Jesus' disciples baptized did not receive the Holy Spirit right away. Even the disciples themselves did not receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to get into this a bit more in a couple of minutes. Even the disciples themselves did not receive the Holy Spirit until Pentecost 31 AD. So it's not likely that the people that they baptized would have received the Holy Spirit. Now, after Jesus' resurrection and shortly before his ascension back to his Father, here's what Jesus said to his disciples, and he was repeating John's prophecy from Luke chapter 3 and 16, verse 16, which we've already read. Please go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So we assume from that the disciples did not yet have the Holy Spirit. So this, and it virtually proves then that the disciples still not had received the Holy Spirit at the former time. Now at an even later date, the Apostle Peter recalled these words of Jesus. Let's go over to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 and verse 16 is what the Apostle Peter says. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he's quoting Jesus from that earlier time, just before Jesus ascended back to his Father in heaven. So that's Acts chapter 11 and verse 16. I want you to go back to Acts chapter 8, because shortly before this recollection of Peter's, we can see how the giving of the Holy Spirit is solidly linked to baptism and coupled with the laying on of hands. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. I'm sorry to have you jumping all over the place, but it's good to learn these things. So what we want to find out here is how the giving of the Holy Spirit is solidly linked to baptism and the laying on of hands, especially. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So that laying on of hands is an important point. Let's just read the following two verses as well, verses 18 and 19, because this repeats it again. And when Simon Magus, saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. So here is a what we can call a bad guy, I suppose, because he did a lot of wrong. But even he was able to see that the laying on of the apostles' hands was necessary for the Holy Spirit to be given. Verse 19, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. So that's the point that he's trying to get across there, is that the laying on of hands is a necessary, is a necessity. So later still, the Apostle Paul reiterates the difference between John's and Jesus' baptisms, or Jesus' disciples' baptisms, the difference between John the Baptist's and the disciples' baptisms, number one. And number two, the Apostle Paul reiterates that the laying on of hands is required for the receiving of the Holy Spirit, and that's in Acts chapter 19. Let's go there. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, I'm going to read verses 3 to 6. Acts chapter 19, verses 3 to 6. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. There it is again. John's baptism was called the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So there's that laying on of hands again, expressed as a necessity. So from all of this, we see that under normal circumstances, baptism plus the laying on of hands leads to God giving his Holy Spirit to the people who he's calling. Now we move on to question number 5, and it's a two-part question. And part A, 5A if you like, is this. Did the people receive the Holy Spirit upon their baptism? Talking about the baptism of John again, because we're talking about Matthew 3 here. Did the people who John the Baptist baptized, did they receive the Holy Spirit upon their baptism? Well, we've been through a lot of that already. So, as we've seen already, as we'll see later on, that the people, and we've seen already that the people in later scriptures, at later times, after the Holy Spirit had come, that these people did receive the Holy Spirit. But in John's baptism, again, the answer is almost certainly not. I know this sounds like I'm repeating myself, but my first question was, did they receive the laying on of hands? This question is, did they receive the Holy Spirit? Questions are interchangeable, I suppose. Anyway, the answer is almost certainly not. And how do we know? Again, the answer comes from the Gospel of John, who's writing at a later date than the time of Matthew 3. Let's go to John chapter 7 and verse 39. John 7 and verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Holy Spirit at the time of John chapter 7 was not yet given. So if the Holy Spirit was not yet generally given at the time of John chapter 7, it definitely was not given at the time of Matthew chapter 3. Now, yes, we know that there were some people who received the Holy Spirit in what we call Old Testament times, but these were very few and far between, and they were for very special purposes. As a general rule, the Holy Spirit had not yet been generally given, even to these people who were being baptized by John. And this leads to the next part of the question. Question 5b, if you like, is, were all these people who John baptized, were they immediately converted? In other words, were they truly converted at the time of their baptism? And again, the answer is no. As we've seen in the previous questions there, John's was a baptism of confession and repentance. And confession and repentance are only the first steps to true conversion. Okay, so what else is necessary for true conversion? Well, we know that the coming of Jesus Christ, the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, were all necessary for conversion. And secondly, the laying on of hands, which we've already talked about. Okay, let's go on to question 6. Question 6 is in two parts as well. I can tell you both of the parts at the same time. Question 6a is, how many were ultimately converted? How many of these people who were baptized by John were ultimately converted? And the second part of question 6b, is how many stuck with it? How many of these people who were baptized by John stuck with it for the long term? We don't know the numbers exactly, but probably there were not many at all, not many. Despite probably thousands who were baptized by John, we don't know how many he baptized, but we can imagine that there were probably thousands of them, because it says that, when it says that all of those cities, all of Jerusalem and all of those people who lived in the villages and towns around Judea and around the Jordan came out, many of them would have been baptized. So we assume that there were probably thousands of them. And then because we already read the scripture that says that probably more thousands who were baptized by Jesus' disciples. And then we know also that there were thousands who witnessed Jesus' miracles. All you got to do is think about the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. And, we know that there were thousands and thousands of people who saw those things. And also the hundreds who saw Jesus after his resurrection. We're going to turn to that scripture in a minute to see that. But the question is, how many stayed true and faithful to Jesus Christ? Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4. And he, talking about Jesus Christ, of course, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, which is Simon Peter, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. So he was seen by over 500 brethren. Were all of these 500 necessarily all faithful followers of Jesus? Or possibly by brethren was Paul writing about Jews or Israelites? We're really not totally sure on that point. But even then, 500 sounds like a lot of people, and it probably is a lot of people, a lot of witnesses who saw him alive. Well, let's go over to Acts chapter 1 and see what happened in Jerusalem specifically. Acts chapter 1. We tend to think that because of all of these miracles and because of all of these baptisms and because of all of the feeding of the 5,000 and 4,000, that Jesus had all of these wonderful, faithful followers. Let's see what it says here. This is specifically in Jerusalem. It says, Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether the number of names was about 120. 120. So immediately after Jesus' ascension to his Father in heaven, there in Jerusalem, which was the largest city, and arguably perhaps the most converts, the most who were baptized by Jesus' disciples and John the Baptist, there was only 120 people who in that city. So really interesting facts that we get from, we can dig out from one little verse and then expanding it into the others. I meant to get to question 7 today, but I'm out of time. And question 7, I'll tell you what question 7 is because I'm going to go into it next time. Question 7 is, was baptism a new rite? Was it a new practice when John began baptizing? Was baptism a new rite when John began baptizing? So please think about this and we'll get back to it in a couple of weeks' time. Next week, we'll probably be back to Warren and Genesis chapter 9.